Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Did you know that Xavi Hernandez used to scan over 8 times in the 10 seconds before receiving the ball? It's therefore not surprising that he rarely lost it. Scientific studies have shown just how important scanning is in soccer. Players who scan more, for example, make twice as many successful forward passes than those who scan less. But training this skill is difficult, and that's why thousands of players trust Be Your Best, the soccer training app in virtual reality, designed to improve players' game intelligence. To learn more, visit beyourbest.com and use code POD20 to get 20% off your first subscription.
You're listening to Acton Law, broadcasting from the beautiful South Burnham. Accept no substitute.
Good morning, dear listeners. Welcome to Acton Millwall, the number one Millwall podcast. My name is Nick Hart. Joining me in the aftermath of yesterday's full-blooded 2-2 draw at Kenilworth Road is one of the intrepid thousand that travelled up there, Phil Clark. Welcome to the show, Phil.
Hi, Nick. How are you?
I'm like many others online. I mean, you were there. I was watching it via a stream. It's one of those results, 2-2. I think because we got in front late via that brilliantly taken a Afobe goal, there's a slight sense of we've lost something, but we haven't. It was a good draw at a third place outfit that I thought looked, you know, they looked quite useful, to be absolutely frank. So yeah, it's one of those draws that feels like a defeat for me. But how did you see it, Phil? You were there in the ground yesterday.
Yeah, a little bit like that. I think on the train up, you know, chatting to people, you know, there was a feeling that if we get a draw out of this and then maybe get a couple of good results in the home games, that will keep us close to things. But I'm not sure we knew what to expect from Millwall after the Stoke performance, which was, you know, quite frankly, pretty poor overall, even if there are mitigating circumstances. I think we were unsure as to what kind of Millwall we'd see. And the first 20 minutes, you know, we were right at them. And I think all of a sudden everybody was starting to think, OK, we're looking pretty good here. And actually, Luton were looking pretty poor, hitting a lot of long balls. You know, I felt we really knocked them out of their stride in that first 15, 20 minutes.
Yeah, I agree. Then, yeah.
You know, then we get the long, then we get the first goal, which is a really good strike from Bradshaw. But, you know, make no mistake, when you watch it back, it's a long ball from Bart. Centre half misses it. Jed gets a little tap on it and, you know, Bradshaw thunders it home, and you start believing it's possible that, you know, I mean, the fact is, Nick, if we'd have won yesterday, everyone would be saying we're certain for a playoff spot, you know. So that's the emotions of where we are in the season, isn't it?
Bit of perspective is always useful, down the den especially. I agree. I mean, the lineup yesterday, listeners, you'll know this already by the time you get to hear the show. Bart in goal, backline Murray Wallace, Jake Cooper, Dan Bannard, Malone and McNamara on either side of them. Midfield, Billy Mitch and Jules Saville. And a very welcome return for me yesterday for Tom Bradshaw up front, alongside Afobe, Bennett Afobe, and of course, Jed Wallace. I thought that opening goal was everything we've probably missed a lot this season, which was a real opportunistic strike from distance following what was, you're right, it was almost Route 1. It was almost Cold Blow Lane 1988 again, wasn't it? That long ball down the middle, tapped on and then smashed home by a player of talent. I'd closed my eyes and thought of Teddy in that moment. Nice to take a chance.
We don't score many from outside the box, do we, to be fair? So, you know, no. It's definitely one thing as fans that we miss is having, in this case, it was a striker, but quite often it would have been an Alex Ray or somebody who'd be prepared to take a shot from 25 yards. We just really haven't had anyone that wants to take that on, to be honest.
No, neither of our midfielders. I mean, I love Billy Mitchell and I've enjoyed watching him this season, and also Jules Saville who's come along as the season's gone along. I think he's had his moments, but neither of those are long-range distance shooters. So it's just nice to see Tom Bradshaw willing to have a poke, and it paid off yesterday. So 1-0 at 25 minutes, I must admit I was starting to dream of the Wembley Way at that point.
Yeah.
I dare say the travelling support did as well. I was looking at a picture earlier on, Phil. It looked pretty tightly packed in that. Is that the Oak Road stand, the end of the stadium there, I believe?
It is the Oak Road stand, yeah. It was very tightly packed. It was very snug, to say the least.
Snug is a good word, yeah.
Yeah, and just getting in and out of it, and even at half time going downstairs to the tiny little metal
the facilities
down to the toilets was, you know, it was an absolute nightmare, to be honest with you. There's a bit of you that wants to just call it what it is, which is a ground that should be destroyed, but there's another part of you that reminisces this is what football used to be like for those of us that can remember pre-90s football.
Yes, it did. I've been to Kenilworth. I haven't been there for a long while. I was due to go yesterday, listeners, but got overtaken by a familial birthday that I'd completely forgotten. So I had to try and do my best to watch it on the iPad. But yeah, it's certainly an old style ground. Character, I think, is the word they would use in the world of estate agency.
Indeed. I think I was just going to say, I mean, that opening spell, I mean, you know, for that 25 minutes, we were literally all over them. Jed's work rate, I have to point out, I mean, it was across the team, but particularly up front, Jed and Bradshaw were pressing everywhere. Afobe looked a little bit lethargic, if I'm honest, and that was a theme that sort of carried through the 90 odd minutes. But the work rate and the pressing, it really unsettled Luton, and they were forced into a lot of, you know, long ball football, which, you know, I don't think was what we expected, because we've all heard how they're playing such lovely football. But we just got to this little spell where I can't remember the player. Might have been Tom Lockyer, I think, who got a head injury, and the game stopped for an eternity.
Yes, it did, forever. Yeah,
while he bandaged him. I mean, they only added 5 minutes on, but it felt a lot longer. And, you know, I get it's a head injury and the treatment goes on the pitch, but it got to the point where both sides have got out practice balls and we're playing little triangles and diags, and you sort of, you know, it's getting to a comedy moment when it's turning into a training session during an injury delay. And then 5 minutes later, it happened again. And the ref allowed the treatment to carry on the pitch again. And you just, you know, I thought that was a little bit of a theme from the ref. He kind of, he allowed a few things to happen that, you know, were a little bit disappointing. I thought that was frustrating. A lot of fouls that went against us, he didn't give, but a lot of fouls for them he did give. And in fact, I think in the build-up to their first goal, Bradshaw was looked like he was fouled just inside their half by the aforementioned bandaged player. And he didn't give anything for that, which then led to a, you know, in fairness, quite a tidy little bit of play from Luton. There's a nice little back heel in there from Lansbury, which set, I think, Amari Bell away, who played into Adebayo with a 1-2 and scored. And I would say, watching the game, Nick, Adebayo's such a find for them. You know, I think he's got 15 or 16 goals this season. They picked him up, I had a look this morning, from Walsall. Not a player, this is, I mean, Adebayo's a name everybody knows, but not that Adebayo.
Not that one,
I don't know what they picked him up for, but I mean, he was a real handful for the whole game. All three centre-backs had a go at marking him, and to be honest, none of them really came out with a great deal of credit. He was strong, physical, quick, his work rate was exceptional, he was decent with the ball on the ground, as we saw. You know, credit to Luton for finding a player like that, because to be honest, I think if you put him in our team, that would make a major difference.
We'd be a force. Yeah, I agree.
Make a big difference.
I know that Aaron on this show a few times over the season has praised the recruitment team at Luton, which included Mick Harford, who they showed a couple of times on the stream, on the sidelines. And I think you're right, Phil. I mean, it's going to be an important part of our club if we are to progress, is finding and promoting these kinds of players, because they clearly are out there. It's just a question of going to get them, and they may well be the not knowns, the passed overs and the forgottens and all this kind of group. But Luton do seem to be quite adept at finding players like Adebayo. I thought that was a really nice move, to be honest, for the goal. I mean, I think whatever Mills form, we would have been hard pushed to stop that move, because it was just neatly worked and evaded our defence with some skill, and it was nice finish, you know.
It was. I think it was very similar when they beat us at our place. I think that Harry Cornick, whatever his name, he's got two goals. again, when the ball is played with pace on the ground around our defence and around the edge of our box, we really struggle. We're obviously very good at the aerial balls and the, maybe some of the channel balls, but that little interchange of play, I'll be honest with you, I mean, I've watched it back this morning just to have a quick look because it's difficult in the heat of the moment. You know, I mean, perhaps Billy could have been a lot tighter to Amari Bell, which would have cut that pass out in the first place. I mean, the only reason that move kind of happens is because of the perhaps the foul, then Lansbury with a nice little back heel. But if Billy's tighter to Amari Bell, maybe that ball isn't on. And then that creates the 1-2. But even once Amari Bell gets the ball, you know, the movement off of the ball was excellent. And it was like watching a training ground exercise, not just because it was so well practiced, but also because we were like traffic cones. We were just so static. You know, once that ball had pinged four or five times, we were, you know, it was like rabbits in a headlight. We didn't really know what to do. And I'm not sure whether that's a criticism or whether that's the reality of having three big, strong centre-halves who are, you know, eat and drink aerial balls, and you know, we lack that sort of player who can really read the ball on the deck a little bit better, which is what undid us on that occasion.
Not neat move, hard to say much more about it other than well done Luton on that one. All at half time, Phil, and the second half was a bit more, I wouldn't say it's one way traffic, because I thought the game was actually full-blooded and end to end, really. You know, it was an entertaining game if you were a neutral, which obviously I wasn't. But you know, I think the commitment shown by Millwall was everything that we were looking for earlier in the season. When, you know, and even on odd performances recently, e.g. Stoke, we certainly brought everything we could to the game. But I think Luton were also searching for those crucial 3 points. They wanted it as much as we did. So it was certainly made for a full-blooded contest. I mean, Bart made a really good save. I think it's on the highlights reel that I saw on YouTube this morning. I wasn't able to take any notes, listeners, which is my normal style because I was in a birthday party. But, I think there was a decent save from a Luton break in the second half down the centre, I think, which, again, is one of those Bart world-level saves that we just take for granted. He seemed to block a shot that ordinarily would have gone in the net and made it 2-1 to Luton. So, you know, we did well there to keep them at bay, Phil.
We did, and I think that, you know, if you look at Luton's record, I think they're very similar to us at home. They've, after yesterday, that's 10 wins, 6 draws, 4 defeats. But what they have done is scored 11 more goals than us at home.
Yes.
Although we've conceded 8 less. But my point is that you always know with Luton, you know, overall, I think they've scored maybe 17 more than us away. So their goal difference from us is about plus 14 or 15 or something. Or plus 10, whatever.
14.
So they're a team that like to score goals, can score goals. So it really wasn't a surprise, I suppose, you could say, that they were going to come out and have a go and try and get back into the game. And you know, both teams wanted to win it. So it was good to see that. There was a period in the second half, probably after about 65, 70 minutes, where actually it looked like both teams were starting to think, maybe we'll just settle for the draw here. The game seemed to drift a little bit. And, you know, I think certainly the Millwall crowd were starting to get a bit edgier. Fobey wasn't really working that hard. He wasn't working the channels. He wasn't keeping the defenders honest. He wasn't committing to the press. He was being very conservative with his energy, is probably the politest way of putting it.
It's very diplomatic.
And, you know, there may be good reason for that. You know, maybe even that's instruction. I don't know. There was a couple of times that him and Jed had words where, you know, balls were played down the channel and Afobe just didn't really fancy it, to be honest with you.
Right.
But and he seemed to crop up in all sorts of weird places, but never in the right place until, in fairness to him, all credit to the moment, it mattered obviously a little later on. But I think the crowd was sort of itching for a change. I think Millwall wanted Gary to make a change, get us back on the front foot. And I suspect most people were probably thinking a phobia would come off for maybe Ojo or Tyler Bury. Something to give us a bit of zip and get us back on the front foot and try and take the game away from them. You know, and in fairness, I suppose, with hindsight, Bradshaw probably was the right player to come off. He's still trying to regain his full match fitness, so it probably was a logical change. And all credit to Afobe. It was a superb ball from Jed over the top to Burke. I mean, I know Burke gets the assist for the goal, but the ball from Jed was just magical. He played one a little bit earlier. They didn't that didn't get the same
didn't come
result.
Off. Yeah, but, yeah, yeah.
But you know that to see that ball and to play it so accurately and to set him free. And in fairness to Burke, his pace took him away. You see him take a little look up, and he plays a really nice ball across the edge of the, you know, across the penalty area, which Afobe's side puts in. And as I say, Afobe's missed those. We've seen plenty of those not hit the back of the net, but he put it away with great aplomb, really confident. And at that point, you're thinking, you know, what are we now, 82 minutes or something? You know, we've got to see this home. Got to find, you know, teams that make the playoffs, teams that go on to, you know, glory, they find a way to get that into a win. And unfortunately for us, I think, you know, we conceded 7 minutes after scoring the first goal and 6 minutes after the second goal. And that tells you something about probably our concentration levels, you know, in terms of, you know, staying focused and making the right choices in the game. You know, and perhaps, you know, and even that might even come down to Gary. Maybe when we scored the second goal, maybe he should have immediately made a sub, slowed the game down, brought on, be it a Pierce or an Evans, taken maybe even at that stage a Phobie off. But also it gives him chance to get a message on the pitch and get everybody's players completely focused.
Yeah.
You know,
on
I think
point,
it was such a battle, it's easy to get lost in the fight. You know, maybe they just needed another head, you know, more experienced head on there just to see him home for that 7 or 8 minutes. But there we go. That's kind of how it plays out. And then, you know, fairness, they get a free kick, which possibly was dodgy because most of the ones they got were dodgy. And Snodgrass, who had the pleasure at half time of walking along the touchline behind the goal right across the Mill fans, getting all sorts of abuse, which in fairness he had a little chuckle at, but he certainly took some stick. He put a very good ball in the box, and I just thought, looking back, we couldn't see it from our end. Looking back, Cooper just seemed to get a bit too involved perhaps in playing the man rather than the ball. You know,
there was a lot of that going on yesterday. There is in football generally, but there was a lot yesterday.
Bloke's freaking 9 foot tall, just head the ball, you know what I mean?
Yeah,
he's so involved in grappling with the player that's how it ends up coming off his back, because he's not really committed to winning the header. And I think that's a little bit disappointing. But anyway, overall, you know, I would say probably a fair result. You'd like to think, having gone 2-1, having taken the lead twice at this stage of the season, you'd find a way. But then you've only got to look, I think it was a Coventry game yesterday. They scored in the 95th minute to snatch a draw in their game. So it's that stage of the season where nerves and everything come into play. And, you know, it was an entertaining game, and we played a hell of a lot better than we did at Stoke.
Yeah, which I think is the crucial point. I mean, Gary Rowett speaking after the game made the same point that you've just made, Phil, about when you get to 86 minutes leading it 2-1, you've got to see the game out. That's true. That's the way the cookie crumbles. I think there's a lot we can take out of yesterday's game. I think we're just Tuesday night's fixture at home to Swansea now looks a season turner for me. I think we need a win. I don't know if you'd agree with that, whether that's over dramatising. It's still 7 games to go. But I think a win at home to Swansea is an essential if we are really going to stay in the mix through the bulk of April. Is that a fair comment for you, Phil, or could you a draw would you take that? I suppose it depends on other results to some level.
I think exactly that, Nick. I mean, look, the truth is, at the end of this week, there'll be 5 games left, which is only 15 points. So if you're still 6 points adrift with 15 to play for, it's still on, but you are starting to really, really rely on other results. For me, I think this week, you know, if we get 4 points out of these 2 games, then you'd like to think other teams are going to drop points. So that's got to maybe take us 1 or 2 points closer. If we get 6, that would be, you know, that would be a real statement of intent. As much as what the points does to the table, I think it's what it does to the players' confidence.
Yeah, and momentum.
You know,
the
momentum and the confidence, and, you know, and that confidence and energy, as we saw in that run before Stoke, it can take players that are, you know, maybe 80% of their physical ability or whatever to 100%. You know, it can do all sorts of magical things. So, yeah, I mean, look, I think we've got to aim for 6 from the next 2 games. If we get 4, it may well still be on. If other results go against us, you know, it could quite clearly be off. And I suppose the thing that really rests on my mind is that spell from late October, November to middle, late January, where I think we only got 3 wins, maybe.
Yeah, you when know, you look
I
mean, back
that,
at
that
it.
Period when we played,
it was costly, like, wasn't it?
Peterborough. Yeah. Oh, very costly. Yeah. I mean, crikey, if we'd have just taken a few more, some of those defeats were draws, or if we, you know, we certainly probably should have won at Peterborough. I don't think we should have lost at Blackpool. You know, there's games there where there's probably a handful of, you know, 4 or 5 points that we could have had, which right now makes a huge difference. And I think if we fall short, it's going to be that period, the middle third of the season, that cost us, not the bit that we're in now, that's for sure.
I'm just looking at a wonderful photo, Phil, from a guy called Enzo, as he's put on Twitter, in the aftermath of, after Cooper's, this must be a Luton fan, after Cooper's own goal. He's on his neck. He's looking like he's laying down on the terracing. I imagine this is a Luton fan in joy of equalising. It's like a contortionist. I don't know how he's finished up. I'm not broken his neck in his position. But anyway, hopefully
is that
he's still
the guy
well.
That's on the orange seats. Yeah.
I don't know how you get into that position. But we are at that stage of the season, listeners. It's business now. And every point will count as fair play to Enzo, because he's hopefully still alive. Just a few reactions after yesterday's game. Richard Corley, Phil, says the gap to the playoffs is 4 points now for Millwall, and Borough have a game in hand. Forest have two fixtures in hand. Surely, Richard says, it means the Lions have got to win versus Swansea to keep their top six alive, six hopes alive. I think I agree personally with that. But also Stu Wall. He doesn't tweet much these days, says Stu. He's not too intense with getting into the playoffs. He says it would be great if we did, but it's more about the involvement being amazing, which I think there's a fair point in that. But I think to get this close, Phil, you do want to stretch the season and the involvement as long as possible into April. I do think there's, the buzz is still there, and I think we've got to do our best to get there, having come through this rather strange season overall.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, and I'm just looking at the form table on the, I think it's on the BBC website. And I mean, it's funny because we've had a really good period, and you sort of think, you know, this last couple of months has been excellent. But actually, when you look at the form table, I think it's one win in five and three draws. Yeah. It was not disastrous, but
we got off the boil somewhat, haven't we?
Yeah, that's 6 points out of 15 when, you know, at this stage of this, maybe we just peaked a little bit too soon, but there's still time. You know, we got time, and I think we've learned a lot about Gary Rowett. Gary Rowett's learned quite a lot about the fan base, having us back in the ground, and I suspect he's learned an awful lot more about the players. And you know, it's teed up nicely for an end of, you know, if you'd have said to me when I was miserable on the way home after the Blackpool defeat on the train that we'd be in this position come 7 or 8 games of the season to go, I'd have said, well, look, can't ask for more than that, can you? You know, a nice tight end of season, we're not paddling out. You know, so I would take that. I guess looking slightly further forward, it's all going to be about the summer. You know,
I think that's realistic.
Can we find an Adebayo? Can we find a replacement for Jed who can bring that same? I mean, I know everyone will have mixed views, but his energy and his work rate is just phenomenal. Anyone who questioned whether he wants to be at the club needs the head tested. He was just, you know, he just works so hard. It doesn't always come off, and he made plenty of mistakes yesterday, but that's why he's with us and not a top Premiership side, because he makes mistakes. But you can't fault how hard he tries.
No, I agree with that. We're going to miss him, presuming it does work out the way we think it will work out. But still some football to be played. But we will miss him when he comes to move on, because he just brings a touch of flair and intelligence and commitment, which is the magic combination to our attack. And you don't always see that at Championship level. I was on one of the most pointless things you can do in this life, listeners, which is the Championship predictor. I went through the whole season earlier on. Unless you start to really twist results to suit Millwall, it does look a bit like, as I've put it here, we've gone from Shooter's Hill to Mont Blanc, trying to get up a slightly steeper mountain suddenly. But actually, it dawned on me after I was given the second version of all the end of season results. This is totally pointless. You just got to wait to see how it actually turns out in real life. Huge thank you to Phil for coming on the show Sunday morning. really appreciate it, Phil. Well done for going yesterday, mate. It was, well, it sounded like it was a bit of a mission at one point. Trains were up the creek, and I'm just reading here, Kevin Fuller saying the big police presence up there as well, which I suppose is to be expected.
Don't get me started Luton. On that, Nick. I mean, to be honest, I went up with a friend who got the train up about 12 o'clock from London Bridge. Actually, yeah. It was fine. We were very lucky. The train we got on went on time, and it was all good, which was perfect. We got off at St Albans and went and met some mates for a pint in St Albans, and then came back with the train back on. Okay. The walk from Luton Station to the ground is about 15 minutes. But when we came out, we were basically kettled and walked back to the station. And the walk back took close to an hour and a half, as opposed to the 15 minutes it took. It was a complete farce. And yeah. I mean, we all missed loads of trains. Anyway, it was very frustrating. But, you know, we got back and the trains actually were all fine. But it was just a massive overkill, to be honest with you. There was probably, I don't know, 300-400 Millwall maybe trying to make their way back to the station. Instead of just allowing us all to disperse and go our own way, we were forced to march around the streets, and they stopped us every kind of couple of 100 yards while they cleared the traffic or whatever. And I thought it was a bit overkill, to be honest.
Shocking. There we are. That's the way it is for Millwall.
It's what we get used to, isn't it, eh?
Absolutely, mate. Big thank you, Phil. Good to have you back on the show again, mate. So soon. We spoke last Friday, didn't we?
I'm hoping more people listen to this one than the last one, Nick.
Do ever listen to that Lions Trust show, listeners. Do listen to it all. 50-odd minutes of Lions Trust football governance talk. Well, big thank you to Phil for coming on today. So until midweek, Tuesday night, Wednesday. When we'll be back Wednesday, listeners, with another edition of Apple Mill. Till then, thank you for listening. Arrivederci Millwall. Bye for now.
Thank you for listening to Aston Millwall. If you enjoyed the show, please head over to Apple Podcasts and leave us a cheeky little review. Arrivederci Millwall. Till next time.
Who do you want to watch?
Did you know that Xavi Hernandez used to scan over 8 times in the 10 seconds before receiving the ball? It's therefore not surprising that he rarely lost it. Scientific studies have shown just how important scanning is in soccer. Players who scan more, for example, make twice as many successful forward passes than those who scan less. But training this skill is difficult, and that's why thousands of players trust Be Your Best, the soccer training app in virtual reality, designed to improve players' game intelligence. To learn more, visit beyourbest.com and use code POD20 to get 20% off your first subscription.
Want your most burning finance and investing questions answered? Here's a podcast you should be listening to, courtesy of Acast Recommends.
Are you ready for some personality in your personal finances? Hi, I'm Janice Torres Rodriguez, Latina money expert and host of the award-winning podcast, Yo Quiero Dinero. On this show, we're serving up POC-friendly personal finance knowledge, always with a side of sass. We're not talking about avocado toast and lattes on this show. We've got real, relatable personal finance knowledge that makes you feel seen, heard, and finally understood. Consider me your super cool, slightly risque, but always honest financial fairy godmother. Together, we'll tackle dinero in a fresh new way so you can finally become poderosa with your dinero. Check out our weekly podcast episodes at YoQuieroDineroPodcast.com or subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.